It's here at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Join us for the open house and an evening of on-air programming hosted by Barbara Bernstein and featuring Carol Major, Victoria Stapiello, and Maureen Key. We're celebrating the contribution of women volunteers, DJs, on-air hosts, staff, and board members in making KABU what it is today. Light snacks and drinks will be provided. Everyone is welcome. Again, that's the Women of KABU celebration and open house. It's on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Southeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm.
The time is 6 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. To become a member of KABU, go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Coming up now is Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host, and tonight we're going to be talking about REI, Workers for a Real Change. We have as guests in the studio two former REI workers, Alpine Anderson. Good evening, Alpine. Hey, say hello.
Hello.
And Jim Couch. Also a former REI worker. The REI stands for Recreational Equipment Incorporated. It's commonly known as REI. It's an American Retail and Outdoor Recreation Services Corporation organized as a consumer co-op. REI sells sporting goods, camping gear, travel equipment, clothing, and claims to have 17 million members. Woo! 154 store locations, including here in Portland. And I think the flagship store is in Seattle. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So here's what the REI website says about the way it treats its workers. Quote, people love working at REI because it's a place where you can be yourself, be heard, and be respected, unquote. So this is what the website said. Let's hear from our guests. Is this true? Who would like to go first?
You know, there's some level of truth there. People really do love working at REI. You work with great people. You have great customers to work with. And I think people oftentimes can be themselves. But it is difficult to be heard. And I think sometimes it's difficult
to be respected.
You can repeat a little bit of what
you okay.
said. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. This other mic isn't working.
All right. Sorry about that. You know, I think that most employees really do enjoy working for REI.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun place to work. You work with are great people to work with, and the customers are great customers, and you know you're selling fun toys. But. I don't think as a employee, a retail employee in particular, that the retail employees feel respected or heard. And for many people, they just can't afford to work there. They love working there, but they just can't afford to work there.
Mm-hmm.
At my time at Clackamas, I remember just watching us just bleed talent, great, wonderful, talented people who just couldn't stay. Because they weren't getting paid enough and they weren't getting the kind of hours they need to stay. So while I think people loved the work, mm-hmm. most people just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And turnover was huge. And it's, as far as I can see, it's gotten worse.
Uh-huh. So Alpine, why don't you give us a response and tell us a little bit about your story and how you became agitated and motivated to challenge the REI management.
Well, I worked at the Portland store for 3.5 years, and the day I was hired, I was so excited. You know, finally an employer that cared about its workforce, and REI is renowned for its reputation and ethics and integrity, authenticity, and core values. And I found that very appealing. And within a short time, though, I became rather disillusioned. There was a lot of hardship at the Portland store, and you know, I never thought I would witness that at REI, or myself experience it. But you know, it's very hard to survive at REI. Your hours are fluctuate, and a majority of the employees are hired on part-time, and many are told that if they work hard that they will have the opportunity to work full-time, but there really are no full-time positions outside of management and a few employees that are sales leads, and it made for a lot of hardship. And there were employees that I learned were on food stamps and selling their plasma to make ends meet. And there was a homeless employee. And, you know, for these things to be going on at REI was just, you know, astonishing to me. And there was a time when I myself was having difficulty eating, and my coworkers were bringing me in, you know, food offerings, which was just, you know, so beautiful. And I'm a vegetarian, and one of my coworkers made me a Thai dish with chicken in it. And I was like, well, it was made with love, and it's vegan chicken. So I ate it, and, you know, and it meant a lot to me. And then a coworker of mine said, you know, yo, dude, you gotta check out food stamps. You probably qualify for them. A lot of us are on food stamps. And I couldn't believe that. And then this was in 2015, and REI announced its opt-out side campaign. Incredible. We had customers who were crying, you know, REI members at the cash registers, because they were so, you know, so touched that REI was taking care of its employees. And, you know, we're waiting on these customers, and we're whispering if REI members only knew. And I myself had just qualified for food stamps, and I had a really wonderful customer in front of me, and she said, it makes me so happy that REI is actually taking care of you. And I didn't know what to say. You know, I just qualified for food stamps. Mm-hmm. And so I became disillusioned, and there was unrest at the Portland store. An employee invited me into a secret Facebook group where there were give or take 60 employees at any one time. And in that group, there were employees who wanted to address REI workers' hardships internally. Some wanted to unionize. And then I had this vision of uniting employees store-wide, because I knew that our hardships were not isolated to any one store. And there were the employees who tried to address change from within. They had no success. You know, REI speaks a good talk. You know, REI's leadership, you know, they say that they care, they do listen to you, they have an open door policy, but no action is ever taken. Mm. And that's the problem. REI is so slow to take any action. And REI knew that there was a crisis of hardship at the Portland store. Mm-hmm. And so they sent a team from headquarters to the store, and part-time employees, which is most of the store workforce, about 40 were invited into two meetings with the headquarters, the folks from headquarters. And during that meeting, we were allowed to share, you know, what was going on and, you know, some of our hardships, how the solutions we thought that would be helpful for retail workers, such as, you know, full-time hours and better wages. And during that meeting, you know, they weren't hearing us. The folks from head, the senior executive team that was sent to our store, they weren't hearing what we had to say. And during that meeting, I cried. It was almost 2 hours, and I cried nearly throughout the most of the meeting because I was so upset. And, you know, even one of the folks from headquarters gave me a box of tissues, which was, you know, I was so embarrassed. But after the meeting, a few of my guy friends came up to me and they said, you know, thank you for showing your emotion, because REI needs to know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And your tears were really significant in that meeting. And so that meant a lot to me.
You ended up having to leave REI, or was it non-voluntary?
It was non-voluntary. So, you know, I became an advocate for employees, and I did see my vision through of starting a movement called REI Employees for Real Change. And I went live with the movement on social media on Black Friday in 2015, which was the same day REI kicked off its Opt Outside campaign. And about 2 weeks later, I was fired after being placed on a one-year probation period where I was not allowed to be sick or tardy to work, nor was I allowed to give them a doctor's note if I was sick. And I was told by management that that was my toolkit for success at REI. Mm. And then I was terminated 2 days later.
Mm. Mm. So, Jim, what's your story? How did you get involved? How did you become agitated and motivated to be involved with this movement?
My story is definitely a little different. I was one of the fortunate people that was able to get a sales lead position, which is one of the few full-time positions. The Clackamas store that I worked at had 4 to 5 sales leads, depending on kind of the particular year. And as a sales lead, you are a full-time employee, which means you get 32 hours a week. It's pretty rare, other than like a sale or something, that you actually see 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And in the spring of 2016, when I had been with REI for 5 years, I was offered a position with a local bike shop. And as I started looking at the numbers, REI has a really good benefits package. They promote it pretty heavily. But I looked at that benefits package and I looked at what my pay was, and I looked at the pay increase that I was going to get, but the fact that I was going to get 40 hours. And keep in mind, to get my 32 hours, I had to work 5 days a week to do that, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have one of those sales lead positions, you have to have full availability, which means you're pretty much available anytime the store is open, which makes it really tough to take any kind of a second job. So I moved to a place where I was guaranteed 40 hours a week, and I was able to take the pay increase and the extra hours I got and basically buy back the benefits that I was losing by moving. And after I left, it was when I actually ran into the movement and met Alpine. And I had witnessed a number of employees at the Clackamas store who left because they just couldn't afford to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And saw their hardships, and I really felt for those people, and really feel that they need a voice, and REI has not listened to them, and REI has retaliated against people who have spoken out.
Obviously, Alpine, one of them.
Yeah, I have one sitting next to me right now. And so I felt that as somebody who was a former employee and didn't have to worry about that retaliation, that I could be involved. Mm-hmm. And most of my involvement so far has been sort of in the background, sort of whispering in Alpine's ear, ask this question, say this.
Well, it's really commendable that you're, despite no longer working there, that you feel some kind of loyalty to this struggle and to the workers that are still there.
I do, and I have a lot of loyalty to REI. Mm-hmm. One of the disappointments for me is that REI, I wanted to work for REI for a very, very long time. I was extremely excited when I got the job, and I really wanted to move into management. And REI has a set of core values, authenticity, quality, service, respect, integrity, and balance. And they really hammer that home mm-hmm. to the employees, and they really promote it. They promote themselves as being different. They're the largest member-owned cooperative in the country. Mm-hmm. And so it was particularly disappointing to me that this company that I had immense respect for was treating its employees this way. I felt that it just really didn't align with the core values, and I felt again that I was in a position to speak out and that I should do that, and yeah, I do. I really feel for the folks that want to be there and really want to make it work and just can't because they're not getting the kind of pay or hours that they need to survive.
And both of you in that same position of sticking around, being still part of the struggle despite not being there as a worker. If you're just tuning in, this is Labor Radio, KBOO Portland, and we're talking with two former REI workers, Alpine Anderson and Jim Couch. So you've told us a little bit about the main issues that workers are facing at REI, low wages, low hours, and scheduling problems. What kind of demands are you bringing to REI management? What are you asking of them? Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah. Okay. You know, we're asking that REI institute a $15 living wage in all of the stores, store-wide, that they open up more full-time opportunities for the retail workers and a larger percent of the store workforce. Currently, the only people who are really working 40 hours a week are management, so the retail sales managers and the store managers. The sales leads get typically 32 to sometimes 40 during a sale. And there may be a handful of other people that are getting full-time, mm-hmm. but not a lot of people. We're also asking for more gender balance and more age balance on the management teams. The management teams typically in most stores are predominantly male and younger. Hmm. And we'd like to see more balance there. Also more diversity. The vast majority, at least in the stores that I've seen, the managers are young white males. And we'd like to see just more diversity across the board. An end of the at-will employment, store-wide. The ability to organize for unionizing, if need be, without retaliation. And a commitment for a continued investment in the REI retail workforce. And I think that not only would it benefit the employees, but it's really going to benefit REI. I see this as really short-sighted on the leadership's part. They have really good people, and having more full-time people, the full-time people are the ones that really know the store and they know what's going on and they give the best customer service. It's just, you're there all the time, so you're more aware of what's going on, what stocks come back in, those kinds of things. And I think REI would, as a store, would benefit. Our REI members would benefit by having better staff, better trained staff, helping them on the floor.
Of course, if folks are getting living wages, they might stick around a little longer.
Yeah, people would stick around. We would have longer term workers, and their skills would continue to grow.
So, Alpine, why don't you tell us what's happened with your campaign, the campaign for, REI employees for real change. So far, it's been around for what? A few years?
About 2.5 years, yeah. A little over that.
So what are some of the highlights?
And well, on July 11th, we'll be celebrating our 2-year anniversary of when REI employees, current employees, took a stand in Seattle at the City Hall, where Council Member Shama Sawant helped us organize a public town hall, a public forum, where that was on REI workplace rights at REI. And it was, you know, a wild ride because 5 current employees at the Seattle flagship spoke. One from the Berkeley store spoke, another from the Portland store, and then we flew out the 8th employee who worked at the Asheville, North Carolina store, and they all spoke and shared their stories of hardship and struggle, and you know, it was really shocking because that's 8 current employees. A couple of them were homeless, and you know, there was outrage by the REI community members in the Seattle area, and there was a lot of negative media that REI received in the Pacific Northwest, a little bit in Denver, and as a result of the negative press, REI immediately announced changes for wage increases store-wide for employees, followed by a good faith scheduling commitment policy that was supposed to be an improvement over the current scheduling policy, which really has been a massive fail for employees. Mm. The only improvement that the scheduling policy has offered employees is that they are now, they receive their schedules 16 days out instead of, you know, 8 or 9. And that has been a great help to employees who are balancing 2 other jobs just to work at their favorite job, which is REI. And
but there's no guarantee of hours.
No, employees can be guaranteed 0 hours a week. So it's quite the good faith scheduling commitment plan.
So since that was 2 years ago, what else has happened, and how has management responded to your further activity?
Since then, we've participated in legislation that's taking place, particularly in Seattle. The legislators there were having town halls, public meetings where we could go and discuss the importance of secure scheduling, which was a law that was on the a bill that was on the table, and REI employees spoke there during several of the public meetings at the town hall, and it was pretty exciting because there were REI employees from Starbucks and other retailers all supporting this legislation, and it won it was unanimously voted on by every single council member. It was sort of the heck yeah vote, because that's what one of the council members said when it came to her. She said, heck yeah, absolutely. And so that was exciting, that's a way that employees can make changes in their areas across the country. And also, the movement's been growing. There are hundreds of REI employees that are following us or are part of the movement and getting involved. So, you know, it's exciting times. We're really attracting a lot of employees. And while I'm a former employee and Jim is a former employee, you know, we're really passionate about our former coworkers. They're our friends. They were part of our family. And that's the work culture at REI. And I, you know, as a former coworker, I'm more valuable to REI workers, retail workers, than I am as a employee who always thought it would be my last day there because I had become, you know, sort of blacklisted from my involvement and
so
starting
any
the movement.
So any of the folks that spoke out publicly at these forums and in the existing active workers, were they retaliated against by REI?
The The Seattle employees are no longer involved in the movement. They were one of the spokesperson in our movement at the time had a lot of interviews with reporters, and he spoke at these the town hall and at the other events, and his job was threatened, and so there was a real fear of retaliation because all those employees, they love their jobs. I mean, they love working at REI, and they're committed and very loyal, but they also would like to see change. There's hardship.
So folks got scared off, basically.
They did. So the Seattle employees are no longer involved. But
you did mention trying to organize a union. How's that happening? I mean, obviously, when you get union protection, then that kind of retaliation isn't on the table. But where are you at with that?
We're definitely in the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. We're looking at different retail unions and trying to figure out what's going to be a good fit. REI is a nationwide company, and so trying to find a union that's going to work across the country. So we've been talking to unions and learning and trying to learn about unionizing and what union organizing looks like.
Yeah. Of course, one of the key protections that unions are able to accomplish is protection against retaliation and against favoritism and against unfair discipline. So we wish you the best with that effort. And why don't you, we have a few minutes left. Can you tell us a little bit about the co-op members meetings that you've been to in the last couple of years? You told me a little bit about your creative tactics.
Oh yeah, a couple of years ago, there was a fearless REI employee at the Seattle flagship store who spoke on the behalf of workers there, and the same day our movement published an online petition about the hardship to support REI workers, and that petition went viral, and that's when the movement exploded. So that the same day an employee spoke at the annual members meeting, and he kind of had free rein, and then the next year a couple of us spoke at the annual members meeting, and REI's leadership edited us out of, they didn't even include the question and answer session in its upload of the video, nor did they do it this year. Hmm. So that's another layer of transparency that's been eradicated. But, last year I was almost thrown out of the meeting because I published, I'm a graphic designer, so I created a friendly brochure for members so they could know what we were doing and that we needed support. And I was not allowed to hand that out at the meeting, and I was sort of caught doing that. And Asset Protection approached me and said that, I'm not allowed to do that. And this year when I spoke, what REI did, it's changed its format of the meeting so we can no longer have free rein to speak. And after I shared my question, Jerry Stritzky, the CEO, handed over the response to Tim Spangler, who's the senior vice president of retail. And he responded to me, and during that time, they had removed the mic after I answered the question. And I interrupted twice I interrupted twice, and the second time I interrupted, I was almost tackled by Jerry and Tim and some other guy on the stage.
Powerful.
It was crazy.
Courageous. Thank you, Alpine. And Jim, can you tell community members what they can do to be in solidarity with your campaign?
I think the biggest thing at this point is to get in touch with us. Like our Facebook page, REI Employees for Real Change. And particularly, we'd like to see REI members get involved. The one group that historically REI has really listened to is its membership, And I think that if we can get the membership on board, I think we would have a lot of momentum.
Yeah, we certainly have a bunch in the Portland area. So it's like the Facebook page, REI Employees for a Real Change.
Yeah. Just, you know, we have a pretty strong social media presence. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Retweet our tweets because we desperately need help in the Twitter world. We don't really get it. We're actually awful at Twitter, but Instagram's awesome. It's really edgy for those of you who like an edgier presence, and Facebook's been solid. It's where we began.
Great. Well, thank you, Alpine Anderson and Jim Couch of REI Employees for Real Change, our guests.
We have a quote that we'd like to end it with.
Okay. Can you make it quick?
Yeah. Okay. I'd kind of like to leave everybody with a quote. Sally Jewell, who was the CEO of REI when I was first hired, her favorite quote is from Margaret Mead: "Never underestimate the ability of a small group of people to change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has."
And that wraps it up for Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday. Thanks to our engineer, Mike, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor IRANFORM, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The IRANFORM will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from